Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Even today, there is nothing around for a woman that wants no compromises. Like complete potency, technology from all over the world. And that really wants to go just beyond clean beauty, because clean beauty is just about avoiding controversial synthetic chemicals. But we're all the way on the other side of the spectrum doing formulas that are completely pure, completely non-artificial, with real ingredients that grow in the earth.
Hey guys, welcome to Breaking Beauty,
the podcast all about the best-selling beauty products and the damn good stories behind them. We're your hosts, Carlene Higgins
and Jill Dunn.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Breaking Beauty Podcast.
Hey there, Carlene.
Hey, Jill.
How are you?
Good. We still got our sexy voices going on.
I know. Still lingering colds. Ugh.
It's okay. We're in a good place now.
Yeah. So I was drinking my smoothie this morning, and I was thinking back to our event with today's guest, which is Tata Harper.
Yes. Tata's in the house.
And do you remember that she put hyaluronic acid drops in her smoothie?
No, I was late. I missed that.
Oh, you
missed
it. It's actually in the juice.
Okay.
And these were like ingestible hyaluronic acid drops. And she was like, do you want some? And she's like, I put these in my juice every morning. I'm like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, please.
Better than those drops I was taking that I mentioned the last episode.
But it was like very interesting to see how she implements her wellness routine. But
yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if she went down the supplements road.
Oh, totally.
That
totally.
Would be a fit.
But the tie-in that day was the new products that she was launching have a lot of hyaluronic acid in it. So she
yes.
was like, let's have this ingestible version.
Yeah.
Also here for our juices, but
the floral essence, but we are getting ahead of ourselves.
Totally. So today's guest is green beauty pioneer Tata Harper. And
yay.
I know many of our listeners have requested us to talk more about green beauty
mm-hmm.
and specifically green skincare or all natural skincare, however mm-hmm. we want to say it, position it. And Tata Harper is definitely a leader in this category.
Absolutely. I mean, so, you know, we're always about zeroing in on the most iconic product. I think that this brand as a whole is kind of iconic
yes.
because when they broke in 2010, there were quite a lot of green products, but they were very much only sold at health food stores. They
yes.
were very granola at that time. I mean, think back to almost 10 years ago. So this was sort of the first brand that married the idea of luxury with green beauty.
Yeah.
And that really wasn't being done at all, except for, I don't know if anyone remembers, there was somebody doing it before. I'm going to
yes.
quiz you now, Jill.
Yeah.
Who would it be?
That would be Stella McCartney.
Ding, ding, ding.
I don't remember what it was called, though.
Care.
Okay.
Brilliant name.
Skincare?
It was just Care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her ads were the best. It
yes.
was all like that, you know, English countryside, like a lamb in the middle
yes.
of some wheat field or something. And it was like Care.
Yeah.
But,
does anybody else remember that? Please
yeah.
hit us up on our Instagram at Breaking Beauty Podcast or in our chat room on Facebook to let us know if you've ever tried any of that
mm-hmm.
back in the day.
So that was in 2008, a couple of years before Tata Harper. And sadly, it did not survive.
Yeah.
I think it lasted around 4 years, but mm-hmm. I know Stella McCartney, the brand, was acquired by L'Oreal. So I just think it was ahead of its time.
Yeah, you know it's what I mean? True. It's true.
And I think that's part of the power of what Tata Harper has succeeded in doing is taking a concept and executing it very well.
Yeah, because it's not only beautiful to look at and put on your vanity, the green mm-hmm. glass bottles, the gold accents, the mm-hmm. beautiful yellow and green packaging. It's also efficacious.
Well, I think her goal was to create formulas that were on par with what was happening in department stores yeah. at the time. So not just having like five ingredients that are cooked up in a kitchen, which was kind of what you were seeing at yeah. the time. It was like, can we have sophisticated formulas that have top grade ingredients from around the world that are multifunctioning, that are doing more things than one at yeah. a time? You know, they might be anti-aging, but they're plumping. It's also brightening, et cetera.
Moisturizing.
And I think it's also about the production,
yeah.
like getting down to the product. How do you actually do that and keep the integrity of the product?
Artisanal,
and there
right?
was, yeah. And there was nobody who paved the way, who was really very few people.
Definitely nothing on a mass scale. And even, mm-hmm. yeah, in the luxury space, no one was even touching it.
Yeah.
And I remember like when I worked in a magazine and you'd be like, I think we should talk more about these green brands. And the art directors are like, are you insane? I'm not photographing yeah. that.
Leave it till Earth Month. Right? Earth Month. Yeah. Earth Month. So she really took matters into her own hands and created her own farm in Vermont where all of the products are produced. They source ingredients from around the globe, many, many ingredients. And we're going to hear more about that in this episode. But having said all of that, they do have a bestseller. Let's yes. tell everyone about it.
Okay. So it is the Tata Harper Resurfacing Mask, mm-hmm. $78 Canadian, $62. Mm-hmm. It's won Allure Best in Beauty. Tons of celebrities are fans of this product. Even makeup artists like Gucci Westman loves it.
Yeah.
And I really think it's like the gateway drug to Tata Harper because yeah. if you try this product, you will be obsessed with the instant results because that's what it says on the package. It's the Tata Harper Resurfacing Mask for instant glow. And my personal experience with it, it has pink clay, beet extract, it has willow bark and meadow sweet oil, which are natural sources of beta hydroxy acid. So I find that when you put it on, it's kind of like this pink, almost like a jelly jam formula, mm-hmm. thin layer. And then you get like pore refining, that enzymatic peel kind of thing where it's eating away sort of
yeah.
the dead rough layer of your skin. And you're just very, very smooth afterwards. I love it under makeup
yeah.
application or before makeup. I'm not surprised Gucci Westman loves it. She probably uses it all the time. Time to prep client's skin. Mm-hmm. And I can see why it's such a huge, huge hit. And it's even good for sensitive skin.
Yeah. And I know they came out with a limited edition rose version
yeah, yeah.
a little while ago, which okay. I probably would have loved because I love rose and yes. it's calming for my sensitive skin.
So I think you have a different favorite product.
Yes. Mine is the Illuminating Eye Cream.
Okay.
It's a little rich. It's 132 Canadian. That's around $100 US.
Okay.
But what I love about it is that it has an instant cosmetic effect to it.
Okay.
So I like that. Like hit me with the result right away.
Yeah.
So the main ingredients are like hyaluronic acid. It also has lavender oil and buckbean extract. And those are over time going to hydrate and lift and smooth.
Yeah. yeah.
But it has this peachy pearl tint to it. There's mm-hmm. actual diamond dust in it, hence the price. So that's going to give you a highlighting effect. So, you know, those mornings when you wake up and you're like, oh my gosh, I went to bed too late or I yeah. had that third glass of wine. This is going to instantly brighten. And I just find I always have leftover on my finger. So I always yeah. put it on my Cupid's bow,
oh, nice.
A little bit on the tops of my cheekbones. So I do find it kind of like, I kind of stretch the purpose of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes this product really unique to me compared to, I mean, there's so many other eye creams yeah. out there.
Oh my gosh. And I think that's something we get asked about a lot. So it's nice to hear that you think this one is worth the money and it works.
I do. I yeah. feel like it's just distinct.
Yeah.
You know?
That's great. And if it's not evident, I mean, she's all natural, but her products are 100% free from GMOs, toxins, fillers, artificial colors, artificial fragrances, and synthetic chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
So
Yeah. And you tried many more of her products, though, when you were in Paris.
Yeah.
Tell us about this glammy experience.
So I was in Paris back in November, and I got to lay down and be treated to a facial at the Tata Harbor Spa. Mm. It's inside Le Bristol Hotel, which is a very fancy 5-star hotel.
I'm jelly.
Oh, it was so nice. I was thinking of you. You would have loved the cozy robe. And the price point is definitely a splurge. Uh-huh. It is 200 euros for 55 minutes.
Okay.
160 euros for 85 minutes. So okay. It's a treat. The spa itself, I believe it's a Sicily spa, but the Tata Harper.
It's like they've got a private space in there.
Yes.
Or something.
It's like a Tata Harper pied-à-terre within this spa.
Okay.
And so it's very cozy and beautiful. And there's nods to her branding all over the place. There's plush green sofas, gold shelves where they display the product. And then the cabine itself is like high design, very quiet. I had Delphine do my facial. I had this sort of jet lag release, deep cleansing, brightening facial that was out of this world. Mm. Delphine is the person who does Tata's facials personally when she goes to Paris. So I was in very good hands.
Did she hit you with that French style massage?
Oh my gosh. I wish I could go back there right now. It was like her hands were kind of like, when I was talking to Tata about it, it was like she described her hands as being heavy.
Yeah.
And that was perfect. How she, like, they lay on your face and they feel like they can envelop your whole face. And it's just lifting and pressure point massage, lymphatic drainage. Like, I was way less puffy afterwards.
This is where chubby fingers are a good thing.
Oh my God. No, she was like strong. Like, you could feel it. And it's like getting into the sinus cavity almost.
Yeah.
And just
some people
releasing
just have
my
magic fingers.
Yeah.
You
like
know?
Releasing my jaw where I tend to clench my jaw at night and stuff. And you often don't walk away from a facial feeling like really relieved in that regard. And she totally did that. I felt like I was less puffy, and she used the resurfacing products, and I just felt like very glowy afterwards and totally like I had been treated.
I'm a big believer in face massage.
Oh, it's huge. And I think a lot of people are just waking up to it with the advent of like facial
rollers
and like microneedling and all of that. And
I don't do it. I'm too lazy. I'm just saying.
No, and I
do believe in it.
I actually do it. Like, if there's nothing feels better in that, Clarisonic Smart Profile Uplift got me into it because it kind of like shapes and everything, and it feels so good when you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That massage head that they have, that you really want to do it.
Yeah. And there's nothing like just that hit of like bringing circulation
and the pressure
back to your face.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. So I highly recommend that if you guys are ever in Paris and you want to check it out. I just thought it was a whole new way of like immersing yourself in that Tata Harper experience.
Mm-hmm. And of course, there are places where you can get Tata Harper treatments all across North America.
I believe in Credo Beauty Supplies. They have facials that you can get.
Right. And I think she opened a Tata Harper. Oh gosh, what was the location in the US now? I want to say Florida or something, a spa.
Okay.
I think that was last summer. But many of you may have heard Tata Harper on a podcast before because she has done quite a few, but she always has great insights into where green beauty is at and great skincare tips. We have the lowdown on all of that coming up.
And I think she introduced us to a new term that we should address. What was that again?
Clean washing.
Okay.
So last episode we talked about greenwashing, and I had never heard clean washing before she mentioned it.
Okay.
And so we'll find out what she distinguishes as clean washing, what that means, and how it might be helpful to know just what it is that you're buying on the shelf these days and how to know when you're getting something that is non-toxic for real.
Yeah, I get so confused, and I can only imagine everyone out there when you're trying to make informed decisions, it can be really challenging.
Exactly.
That's right. And stay tuned for some never before heard scoop about a sensitive skin line that she is cooking up.
Yes. I was so happy to hear that because, as you know, I have sensitive skin.
Yeah.
And there is also a lot of debate around essential oils and sensitive skin.
Right.
And she uses a lot of essential oils in her products. So I think you're definitely going to want to stay tuned for that, everyone.
And the little hot tip is that she's an industrial engineer by trade or by education. So her approach to skincare is just so different than any other like green beauty entrepreneur that I've heard. I didn't know that about her. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a really interesting conversation.
But before we get to all of that, we're going to go way back to what made Tata Harper into the smart and stylish beauty guru she is today, to her days growing up in Colombia.
Hi guys, I am Tata Harper and I founded Tata Harper Skincare. So I grew up in a town called Barranquilla, and it's a coastal town of Colombia. It's similar to New Orleans.
Okay.
It's an industrial town next to a river, next to the ocean. We have a carnival there that is huge. I think that it's the second largest carnival in the world.
Okay.
After Rio. And people are really happy, dancing, very friendly, barely clothed because it's so warm down there. And it's really like the epitome of Latin culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw on your Instagram, there was a really cute post where you were watching a concert and you're like, you can take the girl out of Colombia, but you can't take the Colombia out of the girl. I love that.
Yeah. I love, 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 love dancing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's one of those things that it's very cultural. Like you grow up in a place where literally there's music everywhere on all the time. It's like you go to the kitchen and there's music. You go to your mom's bedroom, there's music. You everywhere you go, and then or you have a dinner with your friends, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden after dinner there's music on and a party, you know, starts right away, and everybody starts dancing without alcohol, without anything. Yeah. It's like dancing is just so natural to us, and I really miss that from being there. You know how spontaneous the culture is.
And what kind of little girl were you?
I was very close to my grandmother, to my maternal grandmother, and she was a big beauty person. And I remember just waking up in the mornings. Like she loved to host spa parties in her house every Saturday. And we would wake up early that morning and start mashing up all the things that we had gotten at the supermarket or in the apothecary the previous day, and preparing all sorts of concoctions for all of her friends and her family that would be coming to spend the whole morning with us, doing mani, pedi, masking, doing all sorts of crazy stuff. So I was always very involved with beauty. And actually, like my plans on Saturday afternoon was to go with my Aunt Doris to the beauty store and get so many beauty products, hair, skin, nails. It's always been kind of like an obsession and an escape in a way, mm-hmm. like to find like that little outlet where that makes you happy. So beauty has always been that outlet for me. Mm-hmm. I've never been big into going to facialists or dermatologists, mm-hmm. but it's really about that pleasure of pampering yourself, mm-hmm. and taking care of yourself that I've always enjoyed. And I've always tried to live a really mindful life since I can remember, like mm-hmm. trying to eat well, trying to exercise. I've been exercising since I'm 10 years old. Different modalities mm-hmm. as I've grown mm-hmm. older, but I've always been a health enthusiast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
What kind of stuff were you into as a kid? Was it dancing when you were 10? Like what was your...
I was a lot into fashion too. And when I was younger and I was studying, I even had like a small fashion brand with a friend of mine because we were both lovers of fashion. And in Barranquilla, Colombia, South America, you couldn't find anything. And, you know, and we had the privilege that we travel abroad and we were always traveling and, you know, you get to see the world and then you try to bring a little bit of what you see abroad to your piece of your world. And we decided to start a fashion brand. So we used to go buy fabrics in the US. We got a pattern maker to make our patterns. And then we would find like seamstresses to do all of our things. And we would have drop collections all the time.
Wow.
And it lasted for a total of 3 years. It was called Censored, the brand.
Oh,
and we
gosh.
Used to sell in her home. And we had a showroom in one of her empty rooms in her house. She lived in a massive house. And one of the rooms we converted into our studio. So a lot of our friends used to come over and we the last collection we even did underwear, did belts, we did shoes too, and bathing suits.
Yeah. So you had this background, but then you went into being an industrial engineer. How did
I know.
That happen?
I kind of like got arm twisted into studying industrial engineering by my mom. Mm. So my mom, it was one of the first women in Colombia to graduate from college. And she was also one of the first women in Colombia to start to join the workforce. Like that was like really, you know, like really like looked down upon. Like, mm-hmm. what do you mean that you're going to go work? You know, a lot of the women just stay in the house and took care of the house.
So was it mostly all men in her class, you mean?
Yeah, mainly all men. And there were, she was the only woman, and she was the first woman to graduate from business school in Colombia.
Wow.
And she went on to work because she had got divorced from my dad. She had me and my sister, and she has always been like a go-getter. Mm-hmm. She's never been the type of woman that is happy just at home,
right?
You know, taking care of the house. So when it was time for us to study, I was like, Mom, I really want to become a fashion designer. And she's like, Dada, I mean, I know that you want to do that, and I really support that you're doing this, but it's so narrow, that focus and that skill that you're going to get from just being a fashion designer, that I feel that if you study something a little bit more comprehensive, eventually you can apply it to anything that you want to do, and you have good style, good eye. Like, why don't you study something different? And I was like, no, I really want to study fashion. And she's like, well, if you want to study fashion, I'm go enroll to the Technical Institute here in Barranquilla, Colombia, South America. Forget about going abroad, because I am not gonna subsidize anything like that, unless you want to study something like really interesting, like industrial engineering. And I was like, what? What is that? She's like, it's super amazing.
We had to Google it. I was just going to say, real talk, yesterday I definitely Googled what industrial engineering is when we were prepping for the interview. And I was like, is that like civil engineering? Carlene's dad is an engineer, and she didn't even know.
I was like, I think it might have to do with building, but I'm not sure.
That's civil or structural. Yes. Right. But no, industrial engineering. And you know what? I went into it not even knowing what it was. I was like, well, I'm just going to study this and please my mom for once. Yeah. and if I don't get good grades, then I'll move into something else. But I ended up loving industrial engineer. And I've always, like, in high school, I was like a very like C+, barely passing, you know, type of student. And when I started studying industrial engineer, I was like A+.
Wow.
Like, it really, there was something in the whole curriculum that really I didn't know I was so interested in. Mm-hmm. But it's really about learning how to optimize methods. It's very focused on plants and manufacturing.
Okay.
Mm. But really, you can apply it to anything.
So then a lot of logistics.
Lots of logistics, okay. And lots of like, how do we go from A to B in the most efficient way possible? And I think that one of the biggest takeaways is that it really teaches you how to think. Mm-hmm. Like, it helps you to take big things and break them down to small, simple components and create plans to get to where you want to be. And I apply that all the time in all sorts of things in my life, not only work, but anything that I want to do. It's really about a way of thinking more than anything.
Look at that. Mom's right once again. Moms are just always right. What is up with that?
And you know that my younger sister also studied industrial engineering.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's so funny. She just had it in her head, your mom.
She just had it in her head. She's like, this is the career of the future. You need to study this. Like, okay. Yeah.
I understand. So I read that your stepfather had a big impact in the way that your life sort of pivoted. Can you tell us about your relationship with him?
My mom married my stepfather when we were really young. I think that I was 10, and I was living in Miami at the time that he got cancer and he got treated in the US. We really went out there to a lot of different specialists, and always lifestyle was at the center of the conversation. And even though I was such a health enthusiast, I had never really connected the dots between lifestyle and your health. Like, I remember seeing a lot of like natural products pop up and organic foods pop up. And I thought that it was really a way of being an environmentalist. And I am a big environmentalist, don't get me wrong, but I didn't necessarily think that I needed to change my moisturizer. Like, you know, there's non-for-profits, charities, things that you can participate in. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh no, wait, this is really about your health and your well-being, about avoiding all these controversial chemicals that are out there and reducing this thing that's called your toxic load that I had never really heard about before. So I became really obsessed to reducing my toxic load, because as a beauty enthusiast too, I had a closet of beauty. And I was just mindlessly applying all these creams and all this hair stuff, doing every treatment that sounded interesting. And all of a sudden, you're like looking at things through a new lens. And I started changing a lot of things in my life, my food, my cleaning products. Like, I changed so much, but it was really hard to change my skincare products because I was using this super high-tech Swiss skincare line. And when you try to move to naturals, what I encountered was just very simple beauty. Simple things, like the things that I used to do with my grandmother back then, which are fun to do. But then you're like, oh, but wait, I was using all this technology now. Like, I'm not a teenager anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I really want to take a very proactive approach to skin and taking care of myself. So it was very simplistic. And then when you used to go to department stores and beauty, specialized beauty stores where I used to buy my products, they had a lot of things that contained botanicals and contained flowers or different algae, flowers, you name it. Mm-hmm. But then you turn around the box and you're like, oh yeah, sure, I see that algae here, but I see it mixed with so many industrial synthetic chemicals. Mm-hmm. And I really want to avoid all those chemicals. Like, it's great that it has algae, but it's like, that's not necessarily all I'm looking for. I'm looking for something that is completely pure and non-artificial. There are no options, and there's nothing worse than having no options. So even though I'm not a chemist, I never thought that I would get into this. I'm going to help solve this problem, not only for me, but for other women that are like me, that are not about being simple and minimalistic, but are about like the best things, not just simple things, because not everybody is the same. And I feel that there is a lot for people that want to take it like really simple and have like that simple approach. But there is, and even today, there is mm-hmm. nothing around for a woman that wants no compromises, mm-hmm. that it's like uncompromising beauty, like complete potency, mm-hmm. technology from all over the world. And that really wants to go just beyond clean beauty, because mm-hmm. clean beauty is just about avoiding controversial synthetic chemicals. Yeah. But we're all the way on the other side of the spectrum doing formulas that are completely pure, completely non-artificial, with real ingredients that grow in the earth. Like, we don't buy a single drop of synthetic chemicals anywhere. You won't find that anywhere in our line. And that also fulfills the role of skincare, that is to make your skin look better in a big way.
How can you like drill down on like clean versus non-toxic versus natural and like really make it make sense for people? And I sensed in you a frustration that it's so cluttered and people aren't getting what they need.
Well, the thing that it's been happening now is that there's been, like, when I started, it was all about natural and organic, and that's what people were looking for. And those are things that the governments don't regulate. Yeah. So, for example, we decided to go with our own, with EcoCert, right. which is a seal, that it's a European seal that it's been around forever, regulating specifically cosmetics, which is not the case for the USDA, that focuses more on food. So EcoCert is great because they regulate your natural content, mm-hmm. your organic content. They even regulate your packaging to figure out how sustainable it is. And it's so hard. And we have our whole range, not just one product yeah. or two products in the range, but the whole range, it's eco-certified, and that is brain damage. It's yeah. so hard to get, and we really did that because of our clients, to demystify a lot of the confusion out there. Mm-hmm. But now the natural beauty movement has evolved into clean beauty, which is totally different. Clean mm-hmm. beauty is not about making natural statements, even though some clean beauty brands do include botanicals. Clean beauty is, it's really about avoiding controversial chemicals. And in my mind, is what every brand should be. They should be clean. They should be like, hey, we know that parabens, you know, have been shown to be endocrine disruptors. Okay, let's remove them for mm-hmm. our clients. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, hydroquinone, it's been banned around the world. Hey, let's not use that for right. our clients. And that's great. And I feel that the fact that clean beauty, it's evolving so much and that it's become so popular, mm-hmm. it's actually a great thing, because mm-hmm. a lot of legacy brands are responding to this and they are providing their clients better options. But it has nothing to do with what we do.
Yeah.
We're all the way on the other end of the spectrum doing products that are, number one, made from scratch, with ingredients from around the world that all grow on the earth. Mm-hmm. They're not synthetically produced, and that are truly and absolutely pure. And that's not what clean is. Clean is about just removing some things. And it's really hard to navigate, because it really it's so dependent on brands. Like some brands remove parabens and they add phenoxyethanol and then they add like one or two botanicals and all of a sudden they're clean.
Yeah, right? Or they're making their own estimations about like what's suspicious or you know,
they
what
all have their
everybody
list.
Has their own standard, right?
Everybody has their
and
own
you were,
list.
You were saying also at breakfast that clean, it's like the least they can do, right? Like lowest common denominator.
It's what, in my opinion, it's, I don't know if it's the least that you can do, but it's what everybody should be. It's like, if you know that X chemical is growing tumors in laboratory animals, even though that test has not been performed on humans, why do you want to keep that in there? Yeah. I know that it's always going to be deemed questionable because it hasn't been done in humans, but if it's affecting laboratory animals, why would you want to put it there for your clients?
Right. Yeah, it seems like that should be just regulation, right? But I know, again, getting back to your farm, you have 1,200 acres. Can you tell us a little bit about that farm-to-face process and how you manage to make it so that your customers don't have to keep products in the fridge? Like, how long do they last and how did you deal with that?
Absolutely. So the farm is, it's been around, I got it with my ex-husband about 18 years ago. And so this was before Tata Harper was even in the plants. And it was just really like a farm because I love nature and I wanted to have a farm. He also loves nature. And then all of a sudden I wanted to start this company and I wanted to live in the farm. So I'm like, let's convert all of these dairy barns that I have here. Let's gut them out and let's create our own Tata Harper factories. But in the farm is really allowed us to be able to create our Tata Harper factory. And that's where I use my engineering mind to create that and not really be intimidated by the process of making beauty and really focusing on the most important part of our business, which is our products and the making of our products. So I created our own manufacturing facility so that we can get it fresh and potent to our clients. Mm-hmm. And we use preservatives, like that's just common practice in formulas to use preservatives to help with contamination issues and things like that. But we use natural preservatives. So instead of using parabens or phenoxyethanol, we use radish root ferments or we use a lot of anisic acid. We use a lot of German preservatives because the Germans have really, in my opinion, some of the best natural preservatives out there. And it's really about switching and really the process of formulation of the product was really about like, hey, let's deconstruct all of the formulas and let's figure out how can we create naturally all of these things that are now done synthetically beyond just the actives, because actives were typically natural. You know, algaes, roses, orchids, you know, that piece was typically botanicals were used. But then when it came to everything else, like your functionals, like everything else in the formula that you need, that it's not filler, but it's just like your thickeners, your emulsifiers, your preservatives, your stabilizers. Typically, there's a lot of like industrial ingredients that are used that belong, in my opinion, more in cars and in machines than in
like
things
that you
want to put.
Stuff, right?
And well, I mean, not necessarily filler, but just emulsifiers like PEG-30 or propylene glycol, that it's antifreeze or all of this petroleum derived silicones. I'm like, but wait, we're not cars. This is like things that go in cars. Yeah. Like that's not where you would expect that ingredients would come that you're using around your face.
And I understand your best seller is the resurfacing mask. Tell us about what's so special about that product and why people are just obsessed with it.
Well, it's one of the products that give you instant results. You use it and you see the glow and the brightening in the skin right away. And very few products give you those immediate results. And also, it's something that is so universal, like getting glow. It's like you need glow no matter what age you are.
Right.
Like I get how some people might be like, oh, I'm not looking for anti-aging products right now. Or some people are like, oh, this is not anti-aging enough. But that is a product that is extremely universal. And no matter what age you are, you want glow because that's how your skin looks healthy, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that also the price point is it's pretty good in comparison to the other things that we make that are much more.
Yes.
Because everything adds up, you know, all the things that we make, our products are really expensive to produce, to have a product that it's made with multiple actives, which is what we focus on. Like, we don't focus on silver bullet ingredients. We really focus on like the combination of many actives that work together to give you amazing results. Always with the idea of like, let's make a moisturizer that has so many ingredients that the client would have to buy 5 or 7 different moisturizers to get that amount of activity within one formula. And I feel that that's really the know-how that we've been able to develop, is like, how do we make a product that it's natural, and those systems are much more fragile than synthetics. How are we able to load so many technologies in there so that the ultimately the client benefits from all of this amazing raw materials working together in their skin in a very synergistic way?
Let's talk about the packaging. Tell us about how the packaging played a role in, you know, the brand story and what you wanted to communicate.
Yeah, packaging was really hard. And I actually launched the brand without the packaging that we have now.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
The packaging was kind of like phase two. And once the brand launched, it's like when we migrated to the packaging that we're in right now, it was really hard because a lot of the innovation in cosmetics and the skincare is in plastics and acrylics.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not want to use plastics and acrylics. I wanted to use glass because it's a material that it's fully recyclable. Mm-hmm. And as long as people are recycling it, it's, you can recycle it infinitely.
Yeah.
So we had to invest in creating our own custom bottles. And I also wanted to bring a piece of Vermont into the line, mm-hmm. in a way. And so I remember one time just staring at the farm, and it was the summer where the farm is like neon green and yellow dandelions all over. And I was like, this is, should be a good color scheme, the green and the yellow. And it really reflects what I'm seeing right now, because, mm-hmm. you know, we come from Vermont, which is the green mountain state. And also green is a color that represents universal love, like different than pink, that it's about unconditional love. Like, green is really about universal love. And we make the products with so much love and so much commitment to our clients that it's really reflective of a lot of the values and all the energy that we put into it. So it took a really long time, but eventually we got there. But just creating our own package, and also we're constantly tweaking in the background the package. Like, for example, when we launch with inserts, and that was like a box inside of a box. So then it's like, well, why don't we minimize that? Like, I really want to reduce the amount of waste that we create. So then we now are merging into a new sort of insert inside of the box that it consumes less paper. Also into things that are just less impactful to the environment. Mm-hmm. Like, we are also redoing a lot of the way that we ship things in. So you guys will be seeing that in 2019, a lot of the things that we'll be doing. But we're constantly thinking about, how do we create a luxury product that looks like, that it's really representative of the technology and the quality that it's in there, but that doesn't necessarily have to be covered in sparkles and with 3 layers of acrylic. And, mm-hmm. and then you use that pot and then you throw it in the trash and it's going to end up in the landfill. I really don't think that our clients are expecting that from us, that what they buy from us is just going to end up in the trash.
Yeah.
And even though that could be the case for pumps.
Yes.
Because we can't do anything about that right now. And even though I would love to remove them, I'm very hesitant about products getting contaminated.
Yeah.
So that's why pumps are a necessity for us and things like that. So it's just like a lot of intellectual horsepower goes into packaging. Mm-hmm. And my product development team and I are always in constant communication about, like, how do we make things more sustainable? How do we make things better? How do we reduce the amount of trash that we create?
Yeah. You're saying it's like, it's really not a good idea to stick your fingers in the pot?
Yeah, it's actually the first time that I've actually been open to doing an emulsion in an open jar container, because I've always been avoiding that scenario. And it's okay for our masks because they contain a lot of acids and they contain a lot of ingredients that will hinder from a lot of contamination from happening. So that's fine. But to do an emulsion that it's so susceptible in mm-hmm. an open jar was something that I was really scared about. And so we worked on that formula for a really long time, and we actually launched it and pulled it back. And upgraded the technology of preservative quite a bit to make sure that it will sustain a lot of the use. And that's why it comes with that spoon. Like when we launched it, it didn't come with that spoon. And I was like, okay, let's rethink this a little bit.
And that's the rich cream we're talking about.
Creme riche.
I was curious, during our breakfast, you were talking about how you removed essential oils from your latest floral essence.
Yeah, I was curious about that too.
Can you talk about that? And why you did that.
So I love essential oils, by the way. I just want to say that this is another thing that I'm really sad about, that essential oils have gotten such a bad rap. And all of a sudden, it's like the culprit for every reaction out there. When in reality, like, people react to so many things. People react to acids. People react to retinol. Mm-hmm. People react to vitamin C. People react to a lot of different raw materials. Mm-hmm. And it's really unfair to say that just because essential oils are complex, that they're the culprit for every time that anyone has a reaction. I do realize, though, that there are people that are more sensitive to than other people to essential oils, but they don't mean in any way that they're bad guys. We use them across the range. The reason why I removed them from the hydrating floral essence is because it's a completely water-based formula, and we were using a couple of solubilizers to bring them into the formula, and we were not really successful at getting them in. So they were always floating in the upper layer of the liquid. Mm-hmm. And it always felt to me like a formulation mistake. And then we tried using a couple of Israeli solubilizers, a couple of Italian solubilizers, and it was making the formula too sticky. So I'm like, let's just remove it. I mean, the formula's already like so lovely, like with all the hydrosols and all the flower extracts that we use, that really and we had a lot of jasmine that helps with tone. So okay, what else can we add to this formula that it's not jasmine that will help with tone or rose? What other thing can help, you know, with hydration of the skin that it's not rose essential oil? So we replaced a lot of the benefits of the essential oils that were originally in there with other botanicals that were water soluble. So that's the only reason why I did that. And then at the same time, you know, for some people that are susceptible to essential oils, this would be the only one product that they can use from our line that would be totally fine. Okay. But I am making a line, just like a little sneak peek, for people that are more sensitive, not only to essential oils, but to many things. So I am creating a range that it's more hypoallergenic for real. And that includes some essential oils, includes some acid, some salicylic acid, removing a lot of different things that people react to that go beyond essential oils, because it's really unfair just to pinpoint them because they are wonderful and they've been used for centuries. And just the fact that now, you know what I think that it's contributing to a lot of the essential oil craziness that it's happening now is that because essential oils are so fun and people love playing with them, they have had bad reactions at home by doing things with them. And essential oils, even though they're really cool, they're not something to be used by amateurs.
Yeah, they can be potent.
They're extremely potent. They're one of the most complex chemical compounds in nature. So it's definitely something that you should tread with very, very, you know, in a very, very careful way. And we use a lot of scientists to come up with our blends. It's not just like us being like, oh, add this and add that. It goes, there's a lot of research that goes into it. And also essential oils are used in a very minute amount in formulas. Because just like a tiny thing gives you a lot of results.
Yeah, I love this. I have sensitive skin, so I'm going to be really excited about this.
Let me put it in my calendar. Yeah. When is it launching, Tata? Can we know that?
2020.
Okay.
And the thing is that we do formulas from scratch, and it takes a good year and a half to create products.
Especially if you're testing a lot to make sure there's no reactions, right? Now, you know a ton about ingredients, and like your knowledge, it's just so apparent. Do you work with chemists? Like, how involved are you, or is there an unsung hero behind the scenes? Or
there's always unsung heroes behind the scenes, because no one can ever do anything alone, and I wouldn't be able to get credit. I don't want to get credit for everything that we do, because it's not just me, it's a whole team of people that help me make this happen. So, you know, I work with a lot of scientists, and because, again, we don't like to revolve the formulas around just one ingredient, but multiple ingredients. And the natural world has so many specific field. So there's aromatherapy, there's botany, there's homeopathy, there's herbalism. I work with all sorts of people that then work with my formulation team mm-hmm. in-house and help us decide a lot of new raw materials that have come out, this new extract that does this. And we do work with a handful of people, and I have a wonderful team of women chemists in my farm. Kara, Amanda, Serena, Annie, and they all are super passionate.
Hi, ladies, if you're listening.
Yeah, about putting all this stuff together. And I'm just there, like, really just being like pushing the envelope, being like, oh, let's put one or two more ingredients in there. They're like, Tata, this formula's about to explode. I'm like, I know, but it's like just this one more thing, guys. Please, let's see, let's try. So I spend a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a team effort, in right? It's just like anything else. It's a team effort, right?
It's definitely a team effort. It's mm-hmm. a big team effort. And it's a labor of love in many times because it takes a lot of time to formulate natural mm-hmm. products. Mm-hmm. It's not easy. It's really complex. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that because it's natural, it's simple. But actually formulating naturals is very, very, very complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, obviously you're so knowledgeable about ingredients, but it seems to be a big part of your mission to educate women about skincare and how to use the right products for their skin. I know you were just in Ontario in Prince Edward County. Tell us what you were doing there.
So I was amazing. There with a group of friends, and it was a women retreat, and we did it at the Cressy House. I don't know if you mm-hmm. guys have been there, but it's like this fun, beautiful getaway by Lake Ontario. And it was really about women getting together and learning things from one another. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of things that I had never done before, like vision boards, goal setting. We really spend a lot of time with one another. And I feel that sometimes we just don't do enough of that. Mm-hmm. Cooking, eating, exercising. It was fun. It was like a fun 2 days of kind of like recharge and get ready for 2019 and set some intentions for the year to come and really do some things that you've been postponing for a while. We even got like our astrology.
Oh my gosh.
Charts.
Okay. Yeah. What's your sign? What is your sign?
I am a Leo, and I learned that I have a Scorpio rising.
And did you do like a skincare session there?
I'm actually addicted to doing beauty classes. Yes. I don't know if you guys know, but I now do them all over the world. And I really love the process of a lot of my clients or friends getting together and learning about all the things that I've learned and demystifying a lot of the things that you think are true from, because you're a client mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you're like behind the curtain and really teaching, you know, mm-hmm. about that, speaking really openly about like what, you know, what is what, how to use products, how to layer products, how to yeah. cocktail products, what are the right products for your skin type, mm-hmm. ingredients
What's
they want to the learn about.
Common question that you get at these beauty classes?
What are the right products for me?
Yeah.
I think that that's probably like the one thing that with the abundance of product out there, people are just extremely confused. Like, what are the three products that are right for me? Because I'm dry, but I also have large pores and I also have a little bit of redness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like pores are no longer something just for oily combination skin, or people that are oily that feel dry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm oily, but I'm dry. I'm like, yes, because you don't moisturize. Yeah. And being oily is just about producing sebum, which is lubrication in the outer layer of the skin, but that has nothing to do with real moisturization in the deeper layers of your skin. So obviously you're dry.
Yeah.
And just talk, or also demystifying. They're like, oh yeah, I love oil. Oil is so moisturizing. And I'm like, no, oil is not moisturizing. You need water to mm-hmm. hydrate. Mm-hmm. Oils are food for your skin. Like, they're nourishing. This is like where your vitamins, your minerals, your omegas, your antioxidants come from, but they are not necessarily a source of hydration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just talking a lot about, like, you know, simplifying science for a lot of people.
What about some, we often ask the founders that we talk to about the best advice that they've received, because surely as a female entrepreneur, it is tough out there. There's like, you really need to rely. It's like a small group, right? When you really boil it down, of like female founded brands that are still doing it solo. Have you shared advice with or mentored somebody that you've shared some advice that you like to share with our audience, or gotten advice that you'd like to pass along?
I think that nowadays, if you want to start a company, number one, you need to be very passionate about what you're doing because it's really hard. It's really, really hard, especially with the way that the market is. So you need to have something extremely unique. And I feel that nowadays it's even more important to focus on giving products that help elevate people's quality of life, not just coming out with another serum, but another serum that really makes lives for your clients better. And also go with your gut instincts, like really listening to that internal voice that we have. Like sometimes we tend to forget about it or not pay attention to it because we're hearing from experts about the best way of doing this and that. But the reality is to do something very innovative sometimes has nothing to do with what the experts are saying, because they're just telling you the best common practices and the best way that it's been done right now. But if you're trying to do something that has nothing to do with what it's been done right now, sometimes they show you a path of exactly what you don't want to do, which was the case for me. I remember spending so much money in beauty consultants. They're all lovely and they were all extremely knowledgeable and they were very effective in telling me exactly what to do, you know, to be able to start a beauty brand. But then a milestone along the way involved things that my belly was telling me, oh, Tata, this is not good because of this, or it's not good because of that, because I had a very specific vision. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those best practices didn't necessarily fit the vision. So mm-hmm. sometimes like you just need to take things by a grain of sand mm-hmm. and really see how that translates in what you're trying to create and not necessarily just go by what everybody's telling you.
Okay, rapid fire.
Oh God, what does this mean?
This is the fun part.
We just want people to know you more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning?
I meditate. I worked with a meditation instructor and he taught me a very specific technique that just works really well for me. But everybody needs to find their own method because everybody's different. Everybody needs to find their own way and their own path in meditation, for sure.
Who's the last person you texted?
The last person, my mom, before coming here. She's like, where are you? What part of the world are you now? I'm in the far north.
What's the one dish you bring to a potluck?
Colombian coconut rice.
Okay. What's the most Vermont thing about you now?
The most Vermont thing about me now is that we're tapping maple trees in front of my house. I have a maple patch and we've been tapping them for maple syrup. Oh, pretty Vermont-y.
So cool.
What's the most Colombian thing about you now?
I think that my dancing.
Yeah.
My dancing, my love of music and dancing. It's probably like the most Colombian part of me.
Yeah.
And our final question is, we've been fascinated with this topic of people who are into natural beauty, but they always usually have one dirty little secret, like a product from the conventional side of the business that they still love and maybe secretly use, like fragrance or something like that. Do you have one of those?
I don't. I don't have one of those, but I think that my beauty secret is that I love massaging. So any tools for massaging the skin, whether it's gua sha or the jade rollers, I love. I also love getting mesofacials. Like when I go to Paris, I love, like there's this clinic that I go to and they do like the microneedling, but with like the machine, and they infuse vitamins into my skin. Like I do that maybe like 3 times a year.
That's big in France, isn't it?
It's very big and yeah. I love it. I love, love, love.
Perfect. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning in. Visit BreakingBeautyPodcast.com for details on all the damn good products we talked about in today's episode.
And be sure to sign up for our newsletter. That way you'll get every episode delivered right to your inbox. You won't miss a single thing.
Or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast fix.
And please show us some love by rating us or reviewing us in iTunes. See you next time.